Welcome to the Engage Podcast from Blackbaud, the podcast for people dedicated to purpose-driven work. From nonprofit fundraising and finance to grant-making, education, and corporate social responsibility, we're talking with sector experts and thought leaders about the best practices and latest trends that will help you grow your impact.
Hello, everyone. I'm Beau Crater with Blackbaud. I'm a solutions consultant here working with our fundraising and marketing products. And today I'm really excited to be joined by Mitch Stein, head of strategy at Chariot, leader in donor advised funds in the market, and Matthew Nash of the Blackbaud Giving Fund. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the rise of donor advised funds, sometimes called DAFs, and how nonprofits can best utilize this tool as a method of support, as a means of raising funds for their organization. So just want to start with Mitch. Maybe Mitch, tell us a little bit more about yourself and then the work you do.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Mitch Stein. I'm the head of strategy here at Chariot. We are the donor advised fund payments company. So we create technology that improves the DAF giving experience for everyone involved, from donors making their gifts anywhere that they're inspired to give online, to nonprofits being able to process those gifts more easily, and the DAFs themselves actually being able to send those gifts more easily. And personally, I spend almost all my time in places like this, getting to have conversations about this topic, doing research, presenting at conferences and workshops, and just trying to move the whole sector forward on a really important topic.
That's great. Thank you, Mitch. And we appreciate your work. I saw that research report from Chariot. Very informative. We'll have a link to that as part of the resources for the podcast. But I definitely appreciate you moving the sector forward, as you mentioned. And Matt, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do.
Hi, Beau. It's great to join you today. Matt Nash. I'm the executive director of the Blackbaud Giving Fund. Blackbaud Giving Fund is a donor advised fund sponsor that supports primarily two key areas. One is workplace giving programs that corporate America offers their employees to give and do payroll deductions and company matches and those kinds of things. And those funds come into the Blackbaud Giving Fund and we send them out to charities all over the world. We also support peer-to-peer fundraising activities. So if people have a campaign that they're running that they want to have others join in, we'll be the donor advised fund that's behind the scenes, that's processing those payments and getting them to the charities around the world. And previous to my experience here, I spent 5 years at Fidelity Charitable. And so I spent quite a bit of time in the, what I'll call more the standard DAF model of that we're going to be mostly talking about today.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Lots of great experience working for a DAF as well as for the Blackbaud Giving Fund. Let me start with you. We're already talking about donor advised funds or DAFs. We've already kind of gotten into that topic, but what is a donor advised fund and what makes that so appealing to donors and nonprofits?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's, you know, a donor advised fund is simply an account, really, that somebody sets up an account that's meant for giving because it has, once your money goes in there, it can only go one place and that's to a charity. That account can be added to over time. And when you donate to the donor advised fund sponsor, what you're doing is you're donating to a 501c3 charity. At that point, you can get a receipt for that donation if it's something that can be taken, you know, as a deduction against your income. And then it allows you to then grow those assets by investing it in a number of different ways over time. And then anytime that an individual wants to send funds out to a charity, they simply notify the donor advised fund sponsor that, look, I'd like to send $1,000 to my local food bank. And as long as that charity is in good standing with the IRS, the funds will then get processed out from the sponsor to that charity. So it's a great way to think about giving in a more holistic manner. And I think that's the biggest value to it, so that people aren't just scrambling at the last part of the year when they get all the fundraising requests from all kinds of different organizations. They're trying to figure out who to give to. The donor advised fund allows you to have more of a strategy and approach and be more intentional as a donor. And I think that's a huge value. And second, the biggest value for me is it grows over time. So you're investing in it. So what you put in today could be worth quite a bit more tomorrow. And it allows you to fund your giving throughout your lifetime, to the point where you can even sustain your giving in retirement when your income may not be as high as it is during your high income earning years.
That's great. So it's money earmarked for charities. It's growing, it's invested, you know, just like any other type of account, a retirement account or an investment account, but it's earmarked for charity. And so for nonprofits, that's money that can be donated to them, that can be contributed to nonprofits. So there's a lot of money in donor advised funds. It's a really big opportunity, and it's only going to grow in the future. So Mitch, let me just pass the stick to you, just in terms of the nonprofit perspective, how not leading nonprofits are soliciting, they're accepting gifts, they're stewarding donors who use donor advised funds as a payment method. Tell us what those leading nonprofits are doing and what you might recommend for other nonprofits that are interested in this trend.
Yeah, of course. I think the most important thing is I hear from a lot of organizations that'll say, oh, we don't know if we're ready to do DAFs yet. And I just have to remind them, it's actually not up to you, right? The train has left the station. People are giving from their donor advised fund. And whether or not you want to engage, you're going to receive gifts from those DAFs. So it's more of a decision of, do we want to take advantage of this trend? Do we want to get strategic? Do we want to be proactive versus passive and just having checks sporadically come to the organization? And that's really the mindset shift for fundraisers at a point in time when DAFs are positively exploding in their usage in the industry. And I think getting proactive, getting strategic, comes down to making sure you are tracking those gifts effectively so that you know who's using them and you're able to thank them well. Encouraging and reminding people to use their DAF. So looking at your communications, your website, where are there opportunities to call out donor advised fund giving, reminding people to use their DAF. And then if you have donation forms that you're managing, there's also now an actual payment option called DAF Pay that just builds it in, right, like Apple Pay or Google Pay, right on the checkout form. And I think that's where the big opportunity is. A lot of people with DAFs continue to sometimes just make a credit card gift. It's actually very common. The DAF Research Collaborative did a survey of over 2,100 different DAF holders, and they asked how many people still give outside of their DAF each year, and 88% of them said that they do. And the top reasons are things like spontaneous giving, crisis response, I'm at an event, I'm supporting a new organization. So anywhere where there's like some additional friction or time sensitivity, they might make a credit card gift. But we found in our research that when they do switch to using a DAF, the average increase in their giving is 10x. So there is so much opportunity in making sure you're reminding people to use their DAF, that you are making it easy for them, and then ultimately treating them like the high value donor that they are and stewarding them well.
I think what you're saying there, Mitch, really stands out to me is the educational piece. Not every donor, not every nonprofit is really fluent with donor advised funds, but that trend is going to continue in the future. A big part of what we're talking about is educating the public, and that could be educating advisors to donors. My family set up a DAF when we were doing our estate plan a few years ago because we wanted to include our children in philanthropy. And now we use that as a way where we can donate to causes that they're interested in and they're involved in it. And just a really cool way from a donor perspective that I think not everyone's aware of. So education is a big part of what we're describing, and not just with donors, also with the people advising those donors. So
I think that's such a good point to highlight, and making sure don't take for granted that your staff all understands or gets this. Like, it's a confusing topic to people, even if they work in the sector. And so any type of resources you can be sharing or any type of teaching or something you can do internally, share this podcast, just get people more fluent. I mean, there's also DAF Day coming up on October 9th. Use these moments in time where there's more attention on this topic and people are interested to educate internally and externally.
Yeah, Bull, what I would say too is that, you know, underlying all of this is a very fundamental component, which is a person has decided to open up an account for the sole purpose of giving to charity. So they've become very intentional. And then in addition to that, they've decided to give to you and you've received money from them. I can't think of a better donor to go steward than somebody who's gone through all of that thinking work ahead of time and has chosen you. And the key is then if you as a nonprofit, if you recognize that as a fundamental sort of reality, then a lot of the things that you mentioned and that Mitch mentioned just make sense to do. What do you want to do? You want to treat that person well. You want to recognize that that person's thinking that you're an important part of what their giving is all about. You want to make sure that you recognize them for how they're giving to you so that it's easy for them to do that and be able to, you know, support you in a way that is going to help you going on in the future. And last is to know that they've set aside money. So if they've given you money, there's still more in the bank to give. And you can go back to those people time and time again because they've proven that they want to support you in the first place.
It's money earmarked for charity. And I love what you're saying there, Matt, about the donor. The DAF is a payment method, but it's not the donor, right? You're still building the relationship with that donor. So maybe we talk a little bit about that. So in the nonprofit's donor management system, what might they be doing differently to track donors who make gifts through DAFs? How might they use that information for stewardship and cultivation of additional gifts?
Yeah, I'm happy to leave there, Matt. I think no matter what CRM you're using, making sure there's a clear way for you to consistently track DAF gifts, some sort of flag or indicator that this is from a donor advised fund, is really key. And being at consistency is really what's most important. And you want to be tracking both the provider, because that is the legal source of funds. From an audit perspective, all those Fidelity charitable gifts are technically from the same legal source of funds. But from a relationship building perspective, you want to be tracking which actual individual person, like Matt said, recommended that grant, because that's who you owe the thanks to, and that's who you want to build a relationship with. And having this data tracked well not only improves your stewardship, but it's going to help you be more strategic, because you'll be able to identify trends in how this giving is evolving over time. When we performed the DAF fundraising report for this year, the 2025 report, we had 32 organizations participate, and the median change in DAF revenue from year over year in 2024 was a 30% increase. The median change in non-DAF revenue was -1%. So the majority of participating organizations are seeing that their non-DAF giving is flat to declining, and that the growth in DAF revenue is really sustaining the organization. But if you can't map that in your data, you aren't able to have that observation and think about how you double down and deploy some of these stewardship strategies that Matt's mentioning.
And Mitch, I'll just kind of say that maybe a little bit differently. With a lot of Blackbaud customers here on the listening to the podcast, you're using kind of core functionality in Blackbaud donor management systems, like soft crediting, like relationships, interaction history, being able to do things like note or code the fact that somebody does give through DAFs or they have given through DAFs in the past. So when you're having that one-on-one conversation about what they're interested in, you can bring that up and make a suggestion, because those gifts tend to be bigger than your traditional kind of one-time gifts. So great point. Matt, I'll virtually point at you. What else might you add? What other best practices would you want to add to that?
I would say that to go on top of what Mitch just described, is the key is to really work hard to know who these people are, because the systems often don't easily do it. So for an example, let's say somebody has named their donor advised fund a name that's not, you know, Matthew Nash, right? It's a name that you wouldn't recognize. So now you've got a situation where you think you don't know who that donor is. But on the other hand, you might have a major gift officer who's having a conversation with this individual, and they're talking about, well, how do you want to give? And they'll say, I'm going to use my DAF. And the gift officer could say, can you tell me what the name of that one is? And then that has to be integrated back with the financial systems to say, let's make sure we get that information that that person just learned into the incoming, you know, CRM tool, so that the system can recognize that that individual's an actual donor from a donor advised fund, and they have identified themselves. They just didn't actually give you their name.
And so that goes back to stewarding those donors properly. So making sure that educational piece that Mitch mentioned earlier, make sure your team kind of understands how gifts from donor advised funds are a little bit differently and how they need to handle those. So you're stewarding those donors properly, and a donor never kind of runs into a situation where they feel like they're not appreciated or their gift got lost somewhere in the mix just because they were giving through a DAF.
And I think a lot of times it's early days specifically, it's a lot of blocking and tackling. It's basic things. You know, you mentioned the soft credit, hard credit. I don't think many nonprofits make that mistake so much anymore, but that's a first place to start. Are we properly, you know, indicating who's the right player here for us? Because we don't want to be, you know, sending Fidelity Charitable all kinds of thank you notes for the donations they're getting. That's not going to do anybody any good, even Fidelity, because they don't know what to, you know, they throw them away because there's, you know, there's no reason for them to receive that. And it's the ongoing interactions that you have with these donors through the myriad of ways in which they interact with you that you can help define more and more and more who they are. And as you do that, if your efforts around that are set up to then populate your systems in an appropriate manner, now when the data analysts go in to say, well, let's look at the trends, you've got real data in there that's pretty valid and can look at the trends and see where are people shifting their giving. When have they shifted from credit card giver to a DAF giver, and how has that affected their retention rate, to Mitch's point, in terms of, you know, the amount of money that they give now versus before, how often that they give to you. All those kinds of analytics that are really important are only work if you've got the data in a decent shape. And you'll never be perfect, but you just should always be on that mission to make your data better and better over time.
It's another dimension you can use to understand that donor or that family, that household. So that's what, well said, Matt. But go ahead, Mitch. What else would you add to that?
No, I just think what Matt's sharing is really, really smart. I was just going to give a few specific examples of what I've seen help people improve those data practices, because I know even that string of words is not the most inspiring thing ever to get your team all riled up. But I think you can make it more fun. Like, I've seen people have a lost gifts like channel in Teams or Slack where they share, hey, this came in with this fund name. Does anyone know what this is? They have a recurring meeting every other week or once a month where they go through that list of like, hey, here's gifts over $1,000 that are from a DAF that we're not sure exactly who it's from. It's not totally anonymous. Like, that just gets the whole team engaged. I also think I've seen a lot of success with just putting your own rules, your own like playbook together for how you enter these gifts is really valuable. If you're using like an external caging vendor to make sure that they know how you like these coded and what that setup is, and just don't assume anything, especially with turnover on teams and folks think other folks are taking care of that. Like, just take a chance to revisit and sort of audit those practices is going to be really effective. Because I know a lot of people think they're doing it all right. They're managing hard and soft credits correctly. And then they have a gift processor that's new who didn't get the same training. And all of a sudden, all DAF gifts are just in a DAF pile as opposed to being tagged to whatever channels they're affiliated with. So I think just even if you think you're on top of it, revisit, ask to look at the processes, and that can go a really long way.
All great points. And we're kind of at the end of our time, but Matt, anything else you'd like to add?
I would just say that it's so important to try to make it easy for these folks. You know, Mitch talked about a lot of the ways that the donate pages can be designed and things. Sometimes it's as simple as making sure your EIN is on those pages, because that is required for a donor advised fund donor, because that's how they find the actual charity so that they know they're giving to the right one. And I would also say that make sure you remember that, you know, money is set aside. There's more there. And a lot of times that, you know, upon asked, they'll punch up their weight and bring more especially when you're hitting some sort of crisis or you have a real need. They're a good source of folks to go to help you get through that.
That's a really great point. So Mitch, I'll give you the final word.
No, this has been great, filled with so many good tips that people can action. I always like just distilling these themes down into some specific steps people can take. I would just say, take one step forward. We're throwing a lot at you. If your step forward is you're going to send your first email out about that includes DAF giving this year, great. I was just at a conference 2 weeks ago talking about DAFs and DAF Day. And someone raised their hand in the audience and was like, I heard you speak a year ago and you mentioned DAF Day, and I got our tiny school in Wisconsin to send our first email about DAF giving. And we got 7 new DAF donors and raised $15,000. And for them, that was a huge win. And it was based off of sending one additional email where they specifically called out donor advised funds and invited people to use them. So don't be afraid to extend the invitation, take one step forward, and get excited. This is a huge opportunity. It is right there at your fingertips. Over $250 billion that has to go to charity, that donors are waiting for that invitation oftentimes, and it could be from you.
Great. Super exciting. Matt, Mitch, really appreciate both of you. If there's interest, we'll do another podcast on DAFs moving forward. Take it to the next level. So thank you, everyone. And we'll talk again soon.